Psalm 132. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So now for the second sermon in a row, I've opened with a verse from our psalm. Our psalms so succinctly give us a picture of God's relationship with his people through their prayers to him. They are quite unique in this sense because they are essentially divinely inspired prayers to God, whereas the rest of Scripture is the Word of God directed to us. The Psalms are the Word of God directed towards God. And as such, we can look at the Psalms as the basis for our own prayer. And what we see in the Psalm today is the people of God asking for the sake of David to not be turned away. There is an implicit recognition of their own unrighteousness through this petition. Basically, we know we are worthy of your favor, but David was, and we are his people. And at the beginning of the psalm is an appeal to the hardships that David endured in his desire to build God's temple. So, David stands in for his people, made worthy by his suffering. Does any of this sound a little familiar? At Mass this past Wednesday, the two readings were the birth of Samson from the book of Judges and the Annunciation of the birth of John the Baptist. I pointed out the very clear parallels between the two, Samson and John. Both were announced by an angel. Both were under a Nazarite vow at the time of their birth. Both born for women considered to be barren. But the similarities don't stop there. When you look a little deeper, they also serve very similar purposes. Samson was a mighty warrior who defeated 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. David, in turn, defeated the Philistines entirely. What Samson accomplished in part, David accomplished fully. When we look at John the Baptist, he baptized people for repentance. But it was merely a temporary cleansing. Jesus, on the other hand, came to offer baptism by water and the Spirit, providing a permanent solution of sacramental regeneration. The point that day, and the point today, at least the beginning of the point, is that God, in his kindness, prepared all of these things. Think about it. Samson prepares the way for King David, who himself is a prefiguring of Jesus. And in so doing, Samson prefigures John the Baptist, who also prepared the way for Christ. So Samson points to David and to John the Baptist, who each in their own way point to Jesus Christ. I'll draw a chart later. Needless to say, the Old Testament, especially when read through the lens of the New Testament, gives us a great amount of insight into our faith and profoundly shapes our theology. Now, the incarnation was a moment that God had been preparing, planning for, since before time. He knew that his creation was destined for corruption, and that this was the only way to redeem it. But even still, St. Paul refers to the gospel in our reading today in the letter to Romans as a mystery that was kept secret for long ages. Now, God was dropping hints for thousands of years, and the history of his people bears witness to the ultimate plan of salvation. We see Jesus written throughout the Old Testament as God revealed himself to Israel by establishing a covenant relationship with them. At the birth of Christ, that mystery was revealed fully. Advent is a time of scattering darkness, first through the soft glow of the prophets and various Old Testament narratives, and finally with the full force of the light of Christ at Christmas. And more than any other figure in the Old Testament, David shows us the character of the Messiah. From his humble beginning to the shepherd boy, the least of the sons of Jesse, to his obedience to God, to his reign as the conquering king. So, how are we to understand the petition in the psalm? For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointing. doesn't take much to see the connection. You just replace Jesus with David. You've got yourself a pretty solid foundation for your Christology. Just like in Psalm, we recognize that we are not worthy of the forgiveness of God, but Jesus is. He, in his perfection, who took on our sin, is worthy. And it is for his sake that God looks upon us with grace and favor. We too appeal to the hardships that Jesus endured, the same way that the psalmist did for David. He looks on us and sees his Son. For through our baptism, we put on Christ and are conformed to his life. So you see, God has prepared his people for the coming of the Messiah, the promised heir of David, whose kingdom would be established forever. And in the same way, he prepared the hearts of all of us to have that great mystery of the gospel revealed. For some, the unveiling is a process that begins very early, brought into the family of God from before they can remember, reigning in the church. For others, Advent is a much longer season, with hints and shadows throughout a life knowing that there must be something greater. And still for others, the mystery is revealed much like it was to the shepherds tending their flocks. Bam! A miraculous drawing back of the veil between this world and the next. Undeniable. And in each case, the church has a role to nurture, to invite and draw in, or on us. So, as we prepare to greet the coming of our Lord in his Advent season, let us remember that God is always preparing, and that we have a duty through our prayer and our witness to the world to shine forth that light, that the eyes of the world are unclouded in the darkness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.